Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to the Wolverine Confidential Podcast. I am Andrew Kahn.
And I'm Aaron McMahon.
On this episode, we discuss the finalized and completely revamped Michigan basketball roster and provide a few updates on the football program, including a new commit and details of the team's summer trip. Coming up on Wolverine Confidential. Okay, Aaron, going to be talking with you here Tuesday morning, June 28th. No Ryan Zook. He's on vacation. He'll come back next week with tales of 300-yard drives and 30-foot birdie putts and all that good stuff, I'm sure.
I doubt it, but yeah, we'll see.
They'll come back with stories of those things. There's no doubt about that.
Oh, yeah.
Whether they happen or not is another thing altogether. But yeah, as I mentioned in the intro, a lot of changes with the Michigan men's basketball team. Just a completely overhauled roster from last season and even from, you know, a few months ago. I mean, this is somewhat the norm in college basketball now with the transfer portal, but you know, Michigan's is pretty extreme. I mean, you know, it's 13 scholarship players. They've got five true freshmen coming in. Okay. Greg Glenn, the third, Jet Howard, Yusef Kayat, who we'll get to in a little bit, Doug McDaniel, and Terrace Reed Jr. Two who were freshmen last season, but are appealing for red shirts. Will Cheddar, who didn't play in any games, and Isaiah Barnes, who appeared in a couple minutes of two different games, but should get a red shirt. So he's essentially a new player. And two transfers, Jalen Llewellyn and Joey Baker. That leaves four of the 13, you know, who actually suited up in games last season for Michigan. Sophomore Kobe Bufkin and juniors Jace Howard, Terrence Williams II, and Hunter Dickinson. So 9 out of 13, you know, pretty much guys you did not see at Michigan last year. And yeah, the latest is, as I said, Yusef Kayat. He is from Lebanon, but played the last several years on a pro team in France. I'm still trying to figure out exactly like how Michigan discovered him, but you know, what I've heard so far from the staff is that, you know, Juwan kind of put out, hey, let's work our contacts, especially your international ones. You know, we need a guy, you know, we need another player for this team. And that's what they did. And they ended up finding Yusef, you know, 6'8", 6'9". We'll see what he's listed at when he's measured at Michigan. A forward, you know, there was a pretty you know, thorough scouting report on Euro Hoops. You know, by Ludovico Basso, you know, who I've connected with since, and very helpful as far as, you know, what he provided on Kayat. You know, a guy who moves well without the ball, attacks the basket, you know, very good defensively, you know, good instincts and effort there. You know, not the best outside shooter right now, but just a very good kind of all around two-way player, you know, that could help Michigan right away. And certainly you'd think, you know, down the line, given what they lost. I mean, they lost Caleb Houston and Musa Diabate, two freshman starters, you know, at the forward spot. So, you know, they needed some guys to step in, and now they've got several options there. You know, he did give an interview announcing his commitment, saying, you know, he chose Michigan because of how they've developed international players, you know, Franz and Mo Wagner. You know, like Kayat, came directly from pro hoops in Europe. Musa Diabate played high school basketball in the United States, but is from France. Michigan has had several Canadians, Nick Stauskas, Iggy Brasdakis, Caleb Houston last season, Jalen Llewellyn this season. And he also mentioned the, you know, the Lebanese population in Michigan. So yeah, this is a good get. It's hard to say, you know, what he would have been ranked as a recruit in this freshman class, but you know, he's a leading scorer for you know, an under 21 professional team in a decent league in France. That's leading rebounder. That's pretty good.
Yeah, and he checks a box, like you said. He's a good rebounder, good defender, and that's something that I think they lost in Moussa Diabate this year.
Yep.
I'm really curious to hear the story of how they found him as well, because a lot of times, you know, whether it's football, basketball, like overseas, and try and find these kids, and he, you know, a lot of times they're given a heads up and there's some type of connection there. But yeah, the overseas stories to me are always fascinating, especially the kids that get in this, you know, the sport late or whatever the case may be. But you know, it sounds like they had a need, they found, went and got it. And sometimes, as we all know, with those international kids, there's less competition and you can kind of fly under the radar in finding them. So that story is gonna be fascinating when and if we, you know, we find it out.
I think Michigan definitely did. It was, I don't want to say a stealth operation, but it was, things were kept pretty quiet. I mean, Juwan was in France, and I'm pretty sure he did, you know, connect with him, at some point during that trip. I know he's there cause he posted about it on social media, but not till after the fact. You know, he posted some photos, but he was already back in Ann Arbor at that point. But he had been there and, you know, might have connected with Kayat at some point there. You know, this was a guy like Franz Wagner who wasn't sure what he was going to do. He could have stayed there. You know, he's been playing. He has played for the Lebanese national team as well. You know, and coming to college would, you know, hinder his ability to continue to do that, at least in the near future. But, you know, his eventual goal is to get to the NBA, and he felt like the competition level, this would be a good way to do it. So yeah, we'll see. He did have, you know, he had four college finalists, you know, Wake Forest, and DePaul. I don't know how serious he was about them. He had some good things to say about Xavier as well. But you know, in the end it was Michigan. And I know his coaches, you know, at his team in France, we're not thrilled that he's decided to leave. So, but yeah, he said he's got to get his visa in order and, you know, join the team. You know, this is a team that is playing, going overseas in August, to France and to Greece to play, a few exhibition games, you know, before the season actually starts in November. And on that note, we do have a little more about the schedule. And I found out they got a game against Central Michigan. We've learned they drew Virginia in the ACC Big Ten Challenge. That game will be in Ann Arbor. I half expected them to draw North Carolina again, even though I know they're already set to play them in a different event. But, you know, I don't know. It seems like schedule makers just want as much Michigan, North Carolina as possible. But yeah, so we've got four spots still to fill in the 11 game non-conference schedule. I would kind of expect, given who's already on there, that those would just be home games, you know, bye games, if you will, you know, teams like Central Michigan and Lipscomb. Those are the two that are already there, that they just pay to come to Chrysler. Cause I don't know, just, you know, playing Kentucky in London and North Carolina in North Carolina, not on campus, but in Charlotte, you know, Virginia at home, but, you know, still a high major game. And then, you know, two high major games in Brooklyn in the Legend Classic. Like that's pretty competitive already. They don't need any other, you know, big time games for their NCAA tournament resume necessarily, but they could. It's hard to say. Like, you know, this is Juwan Howard's fourth year, so I don't want to just go by what they did, you know, before him with John Beilein. This is a new coach, but I don't know. He probably didn't have too much say in that first year, right? Just given when he came in. Then last year or 2 years ago was messed up because of COVID. It was an abbreviated schedule. So there's just not much precedent to try to figure out, you know, how difficult he wants the schedule to be. So there could be one more, you know, big time game, but maybe not.
Yeah. As we've talked in the past, I think as long as you can go 500 in the Big Ten or a little bit above, and you can clear that 2022 win threshold in college basketball, typically you get in the tournament. So you don't really want to get bogged down in your schedule with, you know, top you know, tier team after top tier team, as we're starting to see in college football. You know, it's rare now where teams have more than one quality non-conference opponent. And in most cases now you have none. So I think that's probably fair schedule. And you mentioned Kentucky, you mentioned North Carolina. You know, as a CMU graduate, I'm sure myself and Ryan will be paying attention to the CMU game. But I don't want my hopes up. CMU wasn't very good last year. They do have some talent coming back. They have a new coach, and it'll be in the second year. It seems like he's got things turning around, but they're still not where they were 4 or 5 years ago. So, I mean, that obviously CMU and Lipscomb game should be victories. And you know, the UNC and Kentucky games will be tough tests in different sites, different places, that, you know, neutral sites in a way that, you know, in a way down the road, prepare you for a tournament setting.
Absolutely. And then, yeah, last thing would be the NBA draft has happened since our last podcast. That was last Thursday night. Caleb Houston and Musa Diabate both taken in the second round. I mean, not a surprise, really. In the end, I thought they would both be drafted. You know, more confident about Houston. Diabate maybe went a little earlier than I thought. But, you know, Houston ends up with the Orlando Magic, the Orlando Wolverines, if you will. They've got the Wagner brothers. They got Iggy Brasdeikis on that team. He joined them as it was the second pick of the second round, and they had the first overall pick and took Paolo Banchero from Duke. That's where he lands, you know, back in Florida where he played high school basketball. Diabate goes to the Los Angeles Clippers. We'll see what they, you know, can make of their NBA careers, you know, both young and raw, and we'll see. Maybe, you know, it takes a few years to get going, but they did get picked. And then Eli Brooks, signed as an undrafted free agent with the Indiana Pacers. So he'll be with their summer league team, and, you know, we'll try to make the actual roster. I know people cared about that. It's kind of funny. You know, you look at, we could see our page views as far as how many people read the stories, and there was way more for the Eli Brooks story than there was for the other two guys who got drafted. And it's like, it doesn't make sense. I mean, he was for Michigan for 5 years, and, you know, fans kind of build a connection with a player like that, as opposed to Diabate in Houston. I mean, nothing against them and their decisions, but, you know, they were here one day, gone the next, and, you know, they were starters, but, you know, never really had any major, major moments for Michigan. And so Eli will get a chance there, and we'll see about Devontae Jones. Still waiting for word on if he'll catch on with the summer league team.
Now, we heard in the lead up to the draft about this rumored promise for Caleb Houston. Was it valid? Was it Orlando? Do we know? Is that a fair assumption to make?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. That's obviously, you know, he was clearly comfortable, with where he would be taken. And in the end, he was, you know, early second round, and you'd think he'd get a guaranteed contract out of that. Usually the guys in that slot do, for several million dollars. So, but no, we don't know for sure if that was the team, that said that. We discussed the whole promise thing. It didn't make a ton of sense, given that, you just never know if a guy will fall, a different guy will fall. And now all of a sudden, you know, that promise goes out the window. But
is there some sort of connection with Orlando and Juwan? Is there, because it seems like, or at least Michigan, they get a lot of guys. I mean, it's crazy how many Michigan guys they draft.
The
litany.
Correct. Orlando is a team he played for, because he played for darn near every single team. But it was just one season. I don't think it's not the team you think of when you think of Juwan Howard necessarily. Right.
It's crazy. They tend to take so many Michigan guys. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, you know, Wagner and Brasdeikis, Mo Wagner, at least, and Brasdeikis, you know, they got as, you know, through trades or free agency or whatever. But still, they wanted them and they got them. And obviously, you know, Franz, they took in the top 10. So, it'll be, and John Teske, at least last year.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price.
Go to your happy price, Priceline. Here was in there, you know, in their organization, you know, with their G League team. So, yeah, it is interesting. That kind of wraps up the basketball talk. Like I said, you know, completely new roster and, you know, not a good year to have this probably overseas trip and, you know, get some extra games in before, you know, the season starts to try to, you know, figure out what you got. Like we said, football news, you know, a few different things. We'll start with a new commitment, you know, the first of the 2024 class.
Yeah, we've talked about in the previous weeks how slow things have been with 2023, and they still remain relatively slow. Michigan still only has seven commits in that class, but they got their first of 2024 on Monday. Four-star linebacker Mason Curtis. He's actually an outside linebacker. He's from Ensworth High School in Nashville, Tennessee. Listed at 6'4", 200, so maybe a little undersized, but keep in mind he's only going into his junior year, so he's got some time here to fill out and everything else. But the highlights, he seems like he's quick. He can get to the quarterback. He was a George Hilo commit for those maybe keeping score at home or wondering. Hilo's done a pretty good job recruiting linebackers and defensive players from Michigan since he's gotten here. He's kind of had his foothold there in the South, kind of where he came from. So yeah, Michigan got their first in 2024. I keep in mind, it's still a long way between now and signing day. You know, gosh, a year and a half now. So it's there's still plenty of time. But it's clear that now that Michigan has kind of a coaching staff in place, new coordinator, new assistants, they're starting to build relationships. Maybe not so much with this coming class, but the next. And we've talked about this in the past, how it's important to build, you know, continuity and everything else and relationships. And a lot, keep in mind, we talk about NIL a lot, and it's valid and everything else. And it may be the number one thing right now in recruiting, but relationships still matter. And a lot of these kids commit because, yes, the school and yes, the head coach and the facilities and the winning and everything else. But a lot of times it's the relationships they build with the assistant coaches. So George Hilo still continues to do that. He landed Michigan's first for 2024. As for 2023, we talked about how slow it's been. There are a couple of upcoming commitments scheduled for later this week to keep an eye on if you're a Michigan fan. Two notables, I guess I got listed here, four-star offensive tackle. He's actually a top 100 prospect. Charles Jagisa, I think is how you pronounce it. He's scheduled to commit on Thursday. He's from Rock Island, Illinois. He's basically down to Michigan, Notre Dame, another Michigan, Notre Dame finalist here. The crystal balls from predictions from 24/7 recruiting site has Jagisa going to Notre Dame. So if you had to pick the prognosticators had to pick now, they're leaning with Notre Dame, but Michigan still seems to be firmly in the mix there. Another guy expected to commit this week. It looks like Friday. Four-star athlete. Now he's listed as an athlete, but it looks like Michigan's recruiting him as a defensive end. Collins Akiapong, I think is how you pronounce it. He's from Fairmont Prep in Anaheim, California. He's down to Michigan, Miami, LSU. The crystal ball predictions have him going to Michigan. He recently visited. I believe he's visited a couple times now. Another guy from overseas kind of picked up the football game late. That Michigan, I think, thinks they can turn into kind of an outside linebacker, edge rusher type, like a David Ajabo. So those are two commitments announcements to pay attention to. Thursday, Jagisa. Friday, Akiampong, I think is how you pronounce it.
All right. So yeah, I mean, this is a chance for them to build a little momentum here. You know, for next year's class. You know, we were talking about the basketball team having its, you know, summer trip. You know, the football team has one too. I mean, I remember when it was announced. This was now months ago, right? That we were, yeah, you know, reported on that it was happening for the football team. But you now know a little bit more about, you know, I guess, yeah, exactly when it is and then where they're going.
Yeah, so they're it's like an 8-day trip, basically across the state of Michigan. You know, Michigan announces, like you said, months ago. I think their intent is to try and kind of get themselves out in the community and visit different spots, and they expose the players to the different parts of Michigan, because, you know, we talk about this all the time, but they've got so many guys from all over the country and sometimes all over the world that maybe aren't familiar with their backyard. And I think in this way too, I think the football program looks at as promoting the state of Michigan. Yeah, they're going to head out about 3 weeks from now. I don't want to give out specific dates. I've been told not to, but I can tell folks that they are going to go to Flint, the Lansing, Grand Rapids, Grand Haven, the big spots on the schedule, Muskegon. They're going to make a trip up to Traverse City. Charlevoix, Mackinac Island, the UP for a day. It's going to be kind of interesting because this all kind of overlaps Big Ten Media Days. Big Ten Media Days are July 26th and 27th in Indianapolis. So there's going to be a point where I think Michigan is going, Jim Harbaugh and his player draft, to fly out. I think they're flying out of Traverse City to straight to Indianapolis for Big Ten Media Days and then flying back to Michigan to finish the rest of the trip. but anyway, no practices. NCAA doesn't allow it, so I don't think they can practice anyway. No practices are scheduled. It's kind of all public team building events, almost in a way, kind of similar to their team trip to, you know, Paris, France a few years back, or South Africa, where they were doing different events and participating in kind of different team or, public activities. I think they're going to do some helping out in the community and just kind of exposing the players to the summertime and summertime in Northern Michigan, as I think Kid Rock says in his song. So, it's on the table. Everything's scheduled. I've been told everything is on, everything's good to go. We'll have coverage to some degree. I anticipate him being at many of those stops, but it looks like it's going to be a fun eight, nine days.
Just one day in the UP. I mean, as an honorary Uper, having, married into it, if you will, that's not enough time. It's a big place, the UP.
From what I heard, and this is valid, they said, from what I heard from the program, it was a big logistical, I don't say nightmare, but difficult. Because keep in mind, you got a team, from what I understand, almost every player on the team is going.
Okay.
And probably most of the coaches and support staff are so.
Lodging.
In Michigan in the summertime, hotels are booked. So I think it was difficult in some of these towns to get lodging for everyone. I can imagine like Traverse City and Charlevoix and the Mackinac Islands.
Right.
So I think that was the big, issue there. So they're going to spend a day or two up there. To what degree, how much you're staying, I don't know. But I think that was the big issue.
Gotcha. Yeah, that does make sense. That'll be cool to see. I'm sure, they'll take in those buses, right? Probably the Michigan branded buses, maybe not, but, see those rolling through some of these, I guess, less populated towns. Be interesting to see. Harbaugh, he talks about this a lot, and he's being about it as far as, educating and, getting, having guys see parts of, the world, in this case, just right in the state, that they haven't seen before. And it's true, even people who've lived here for a long time, there's plenty of the state that they haven't necessarily seen.
I'll fully raise my hand. I've never been to the UP. I've been to Sault Ste. Marie, but like, do most people consider, it is the UP, but like, is that, I don't know. I haven't been west of there. So I've been to Mackinac Island a few times, but like never really made a drive across the UP. So maybe I'll get to do it this time too.
Yeah. I've been all over, and yet like not to like the one or two spots that people who have only been like once or twice have been to, like Pictured Rocks, for example. But I'm thinking I'm going to be changing that this summer. So so I can report back on that in later this summer. But we've got recruiting, we've got trips, plenty more to follow with the various Wolverines teams on mlive.com/Wolverines. So please read there, and thanks for listening.